So a few episodes ago, I guess it was maybe 3 or 4 episodes ago, I talked about being on a film set. I got a lot of nice reaction from that. Let's today talk about getting in a play. A day in the life of an actor who gets hired to be in a play. On this episode of Casting Actors Cast.
Welcome to Casting Actors Cast. It's the podcast for actors in the business of show with casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach. Visit us at castingactorscast.com for more information. Please remember to subscribe and like Casting Actors Cast. Here is your host, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of Casting Actors Cast. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach. I'm your patio caster. Your podcast video caster. How are you today? I hope you're having a good day. I'm having a pretty good day, and I want to talk to you about, getting hired and going and doing a play. Some of you have got a lot of television experience. Some of you have had maybe some community theater experience. Maybe you're in college. But I want to talk to you about being in a professional production. You can compare being in a professional production, if you haven't had that experience, to your community theater production, your college production. But I thought it would be kind of fun to go through step by step on what it is to get hired to be in a play. So that's today's episode. And this is that moment of the podcast or the patio, the podcast video, where I do want to say thank you very, very much. You can show your support by clicking on Patreon if you go to the website castingactorscast.com. Also, if you fill out the contact form there, you're invited to click and receive a free 100-page book called Conversation Pieces Out of the Studio, the voiceover workshop for professional actors. It's a 100-page book that I wrote about actors doing voiceover work. I think you might find it really, really useful. So if you're new to acting, if you're just kind of curious about what it's like to be an actor, if you are in training to be an actor, if you're already acting, I think this podcast will be very, very useful to you. We're also on Patreon, which means that if you want to give some additional support to the programming that you're hearing and seeing on Casting Actors Cast, I would be extremely grateful for you to consider some kind of a small donation. I'm not asking for much. I am saying that it does help support additional equipment and the ability to give you more content as you've been getting so far, but I'd like to make it better constantly. In addition to that, part of your contribution will go to Actors Equity, Equity Fights AIDS, a really, really excellent cause. Also, finally, I will say that please, your suggestions, your writing comments to me just mean the world to me. It takes me out of my otherwise crazy, crazy day of being a casting director and puts me in a really good place knowing that I'm able to kind of give back to you something that wasn't given to me when I got started. And that's all that I want to be able to do with these podcast videos or patios. So thank you very, very much again for all of you contributors. Thank you so much to those of you who are regular listeners to Casting Actors Cast. Now let's get on to the meat of the matter, shall we? Yes, let's do that. Okay, so you in a play. How exciting, right? So somehow you hear that there's an audition. Somehow you manage to get an audition for a play. Maybe it's in school and you wanted to sign up. Maybe you know that your community theater is doing a project. Maybe there's a local professional company in town that is doing a production. Those are all things that you really want to have your ear to in order to get excited about. The first step before anything takes place, before you even consider the audition, is number one, do the research. You know, the internet is such a fantastic place, right? You can find out about the author of the play. You could probably get the copy of the play. You can get the audition material through the internet. You can find out who the original cast was when they first did it professionally. If it's a relatively old or even recent theater piece, you can get original cast notes. There's all kinds of research that, in my view, you must do. Because it'll help you to feel more comfortable about your audition, but it'll also make your audition better because you're making really, really cool choices for how you want to play the part. So not only are you gifted with the internet to being able to make some of these very, very cool choices and do this really great research, but that's also going to help you to feel really, really comfortable. Then, of course, the audition itself. Whatever that is to you. Now, I've done a lot of podcasts, and I invite you to go back through the archives. I'm being hosted on Podbean, by the way. So if you go to podbean.com and type in Casting Actors Cast, you're going to get the list and find out about, you just by the titles, I'm sure you can see a lot of really good audition videos, audition techniques, things to do, things not to do, that sort of thing. I'm encouraging you in the strongest possible terms. I don't want to spend any time today on how to audition for that part, because this is a day in the life of you getting this job. So let's say you do the audition. If you do really well and you are fitting in the vision of what the producer and the director is expecting of you, then you get a call back, usually. Sometimes you're cast right away. Sometimes you get a call back. Sometimes there's a few callbacks involved, especially, you know, if it's theater, if it's a larger production, or there are a lot of actors that are interested and available, then you might find yourself, you know, among other people of like-mindedness who want the part. So you might get one callback or two. It doesn't really, there's no like rule about that. So just be prepared. If you do get the callback, guess what? Let's just, for the sake of discussion, say, oh, you got the job. Congratulations. It's very exciting. You're given information about the first day of rehearsal. You're given additional information like you need to contact the costumer. They need to get your sizes. There may be some paperwork involved, contracts, negotiations, money. If there's money involved, all of those things then sort of happen within a relatively short period of time. All that leading up to, ta-da, the first day of rehearsal. Now, the first day of rehearsal is filled with a lot of logistical things. First of all, you know that just like a first day of class, you know, when you went to your first day of class at school, what that felt like, you didn't want to talk to anybody, you were nervous, there was all kinds of, you know, weird things going on maybe, just because you were not comfortable in the environment. So expect that same kind of feeling to take place. The good news is that you got the job, you got the role. So there you are on your first day. Couple of things to expect also on your first day of rehearsal is a read-through. Usually, the director wants to spend some time talking about his or her concept of the play. The director's been hired to present this play, and they have some very specific ideas that they want perhaps to share with you. And that usually takes place before the read-through, where the director will talk about what their thoughts are about what this play should mean and whether it's, you know, going to be madcap fun or has some social relevancy or, you know, whatever it is. The director will probably want to chat with you and share their thoughts or their feelings about the production. Now, the next thing that happens is oftentimes you'll have the other creatives in the project present their materials. For example, the costumer will pull out the renderings of the costumes of the play. The set designer will usually have a model and show you the model of what the stage is going to look like. But understand that this information is something that you will start to catalog as you start to grow and develop the character that you're playing. You're now familiar with the environment that you're going to be performing in. You're now becoming more familiar with the clothes that you are going to be wearing. And so this can be a very, very enlightening time. So right out of the gate, on the very, very first day, some of these really interesting concepts, some of the things that you'll be wearing, the set, and even lighting can be discussed, that maybe there's some unusual lighting or some special effects. All of those things are usually discussed on the very first day. And then comes the read-through. Now, the read-through can be a little bit nerve-wracking, in my view. Sometimes the read-through is problematic only because this is the first time your other actors are going to be hearing you in the part. And so there's this really kind of weird tendency to want to perform, to want to re-audition. And the director's probably, more likely than not, going to say something along the lines of, please, we're just reading this so that we can all hear each other reading it. This is not a performance. Please don't perform. You already got the part, so please don't worry about that. And my suggestion is that you take that to heart. there still might be a little bit of neuroticism in terms of feeling like you're under some sort of spotlight. Try and resist indulging that, if you would. Reading the play, really listening to the other actors is going to be a really exciting experience as you start to understand why the director picked the actors to be in this production, including you. And so that's the first day of rehearsal. And then after that, of course, you start regular rehearsal. So the first, let me go back for a second. That first day is called usually a meet and greet. That's where you meet the stage manager. You also meet the other, perhaps you'll meet anyone from producers to the box office person to a set designer, lighting designer, all of the interworkings of what's taking place at that theater. You're also probably going to meet and greet at that place. It's a very festive time. Now, let me move on to the next set of things that take place, and it simply is the rehearsal. Now, the rehearsals are, of course, for you to really work on the role, for you to really indulge the concept that that producer or director, more importantly, the director has. If it's an artistic director who's also directing, that happens sometimes. But that's an important time for you to really develop a good communication with the director. That's an important time for you to enjoy the process. I mean, I can tell you many times I enjoyed rehearsal processes as an actor so much more than I actually enjoyed the performance many times. Not all the time, but many times. I just loved working on it. And that's a great feeling. Now, once the show is blocked, they call it blocking. And what they do is they literally, how you enter, how you exit, setting up the scene and how you move around the stage. That's all called blocking. And you're taking notes on your entrances and exits. You're taking notes on when you're crossing, when the various movements that are taking place. And then you're going to start working those scenes over the course of the rehearsal period. That means you're going to start assembling the scenes, working on the individual scenes, and then those scenes get put together with other scenes. And then eventually it becomes a work through of Act One. And then, or a work through of Act Two. And then finally, a work through of the entire play. So you see what's happening over time is that you're growing more and more into the role. But you're also getting a sense of what is required of you physically, mentally, and emotionally because you're running it usually in sequence. So once it's broken down at the very, very beginning of blocking, then it starts being assembled together. And then finally, you have the run-through. And run-throughs usually take place just prior to you leaving the rehearsal hall. By the way, all of these rehearsals rarely take place on stage this entire time, although they can. Most of the time, in my experience professionally, is that you're rehearsing in another location, usually a rehearsal hall, where things are taped out on the floor, so you know that that's a door, and you can't walk through the wall, you have to go through the door, and all those challenging things because it's just taped on the floor. So all of those things are happening, and the final run-through of the performance usually has some of the other creatives, the lighting, the costume, all of those people are sitting usually in on that final run-through of the show at that time. Now, during rehearsal period as well, you'll be having costume fittings. So sometimes you'll have to leave rehearsal in order to go get the costume fittings. And sometimes, depending upon what you're wearing, of course, it might be a long involved situation. Other times it's trying on the clothes and making notes, making adjustments. And that's all worked out during the rehearsal period. Now, once you've run through the show, you've had the final rehearsal in the rehearsal room, it then goes to the dreaded Tech Week. It's usually a tech week. And that means that you're now on stage, you're now on set. And this is much more focused on the technical aspects of the production. I've been in situations where the technical aspects in the Tech Week far outweighed the actor's work. So you rarely got a chance to sort of really get your teeth into the part on a Tech Week. Why? Because you're starting and stopping all the time. going from what's called a queue to queue, for example, where you're going from one light queue to another light queue, and then it's stop, stop, stop. Let's go back to that again. Let's make this queue correctly, and then let's pick it up again, and then the sound queue goes bad, and stop, 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 and let's go back to that moment again, and the sound queue comes in here. And although a lot of this is completely worked out in those technical work-throughs, getting every one of these elements on stage together is an amazing task. Now, truth be told, I kind of like Tech Week. I kind of like this sort of, you know, gritting it and having patience and being there together with and for each other. I just found it an amazingly nice kind of bonding experience. Does that make me sound a little Pollyanna? Maybe it does. I don't know. But I found that Tech Week can be very frustrating and very challenging. And a lot of times tempers, because everyone's putting in these 12-hour days and they're very, very difficult. But I would just advise you to embrace every moment of it, because eventually that's going to lead to your first preview audience. And that's usually where an invited audience comes in and watches you do a run through of the entire play, hopefully without any technical difficulties, but expect that there will be some technical things that go wrong. Now, the challenging part once an audience is coming in is that the director is now getting a sense of what's happening in the production with an audience there. And that means that the director will probably want to tighten some things up, some blocking adjustments, play around with the timing of certain elements of certain scenes. So all of that is taking place after you do the performance. So sometimes you get the notes after the performance that night. Sometimes it's come back tomorrow. We start at noon and we'll give you notes to start from last night's, from the previous night's performance. And those notes are all of those things about tweaking, refining, changing. If it's a new play, that's when the dreaded cuts come. Sometimes the author wants to change the intentions. Sometimes the author wants to change a lot of elements. Now, a lot of that's worked out in the rehearsal period, but sometimes interesting things happen when you've got an audience, as you can well imagine. And so that means that sometimes you have to be really sharp and really available to make those kinds of adjustments and kinds of changes. And then, of course, that all leads up to the amazing opening night. Opening night is the official opening of the play. And whether it's a musical or whether it's a straight play or whatever it is, it's very, very exciting. There are nerves run a little bit high because there's something to be said about doing it in front of an audience is one thing, but then doing it in front of an opening night audience is another. Sometimes you'll have reviewers in the audience. Sometimes you'll have the big donator people, wealthy people who've contributed to the theater. So it becomes a really important night in terms of the business of the theater as well. And that's also a time to celebrate. Usually the opening night party, the cast party, is a celebration of all your good work for that period of time. Now, something happens after opening night. The director leaves. Usually the director's work is done once opening happens. According to Equity, they are not allowed to literally give you notes once there is an official opening of the show. But that's an Equity situation. But in general, usually it's the stage manager show after opening night. That the stage manager is the one that disseminates notes, that gives you feedback, that, you know, gives you instructions based on the rehearsals, because it's the stage manager that has also been with you this entire time. So that's a good reason in order to really embrace what the stage manager is able to do for you. Not only do they call the cues, but they're there to help maintain the show. And that's the word I wanted to share, is maintenance, the maintenance of the production. So whether it's a 2-week run or whether it's a 2-year run, the stage manager is the person who tries to maintain that excited quality that was discovered on opening night. Now, what's fun about doing long runs of shows is that as a technique, it's really important that the actor maintain that consistent level of performance throughout. Now, the way I got through that and many performances that I did that were long runs is I really thought about the fact that this is a brand new audience having this first experience for the first time. And that helped me a lot. I didn't drudge or oh my God, I got to do this show again. I never felt that way. I was always excited to want my work to be seen by an audience of newcomers who had never experienced it before. And so that's what helped me through. So you kind of get this settled in feeling during the long run of a show. And that's really, really a great place. You find little nuanced things that can really enhance your performance. You have to maintain a level of discipline, keeping it fresh and keeping it real and keeping all of those moments that you rehearsed alive. Because a long run, frankly, that should be a gift. And that is a gift. Even if it's a 3-week run or a 2-week run, there are enough performances in there to make each one a unique contribution into and of itself. I hope that makes some sense. And then, of course, there's closing night. Now, usually the closing night of a play is a very special time as well. It's the last opportunity you have to perform it. I've had the experience many times where the closing night, I suddenly discovered things that I had never experienced or rehearsed before. Not that it was wrong, that it was like so rich and I was so into it and I so wanted it to be a special performance that I found all of these amazing new moments for myself internally that made the performance really amazing. And I felt extremely grateful for that. That's why I tell actors that they should treat every audition as if it's a final performance, because there's an emotional significant statement that's being made because of that. So it's kind of cool. And then finally, I will say that after the show is over and you've had your closing night party and you've had a good time, you might find that there is an emotional readjustment that takes place. I mean, after all, you're giving birth to this creative thing that you are participating in. And when it's over, it's really important to kind of look ahead to the next thing. But there's also a little bit of a mourning period where the end of the show can really have an emotional connection to you that's difficult to let go of. But I'm encouraging you to just embrace that last performance and then really just look ahead. Because that means that's a job well done, and it's beginning, middle, and end. You've accomplished a hell of a lot when you do a theater performance. I hope this has been fun for you. Maybe you were recalling some of those same experiences as I was sharing my story with you. If you haven't had this experience, I am so excited for you to have the experience of what it's like to doing a piece on stage. Thanks very much for listening and watching. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach. And as you know, this is Casting Actors Cast.
Casting Actors Cast is made possible with your support just by listening. Please like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Caitlin Clark.